It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Congress negotiates to renew a sweeping bundle of legislation about every 5 years in the Farm Bill that affects life in Wisconsin. The current Farm Bill is set to expire at the end of this month. And for decades now, a congressman has pushed to overhaul this package, seeking to make it more equitable and cost-effective. You can join the conversation about nutrition and agriculture policy. Call in with a question or comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Representative Earl Blumenauer has represented a Portland, Oregon seat in Congress since 1996. Representative Blumenauer, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. I'm a big fan of Wisconsin Public Broadcasting.
Oh.
You're a pioneer.
We are a pioneer. You know your history. Well, talking here about history, for more than two decades, you've been promoting an alternative to the Farm Bill. What is wrong with the Farm Bill?
Well, simply, the Farm Bill pays too much to the wrong people to grow the wrong food the wrong way in the wrong places. The states like Wisconsin get shortchanged. Any state who has great interest in promoting small and medium-sized family farms, if it has a diverse agricultural base, they're cheated. The subsidies flow to six states that produce the commodities. Very little goes to what we would call the production of food, fruit and vegetables, nuts and berries. The subsidization is tilted in terms of people who really don't need it. And last but not least, we're subsidizing a diet that makes Americans sick. Other than that, it's just fine.
Well, Wisconsin farmers received $728 million in farm subsidies in 2021, according to the Environmental Working Group. And that includes $443 million for commodity programs, $204 million for crop insurance. How do subsidies affect what crops are grown or what livestock is raised in Wisconsin?
Well, the people who are involved with small and medium-sized activities, dairy, for instance. I mean, this is one of the areas that you're looking at that has tremendous implications if this Republican Congress cannot actually be able to enact a farm bill. The dairy price supports expire if they're not reauthorized by the end of the year. It reverts back to a 1940 law. Mm. It is too much directed towards the activities that produce the largest results in terms of subsidization rather than what's good for the environment or really what the markets need.
Back to what you said earlier about how you said small farmers are being cheated. What do you see there? I mean, you want to end subsidies for large animal farm operations, industrial farm operations. Why is that?
Well, as a practical matter, what we're doing here is squeezing out small and medium-sized producers. The large confined animal feedlot operations are bad for the environment, water quality, air quality. And what we're seeing is that the typical farmer has fewer and fewer choices about who they sell their products to. There are four large producers for pork, for poultry. At a time of record high beef prices, the amount that goes to the farmer that produces it is shrinking. The system is upside down.
We're talking about an alternative to the Farm Bill with Congressman Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, and you can join the conversation about farming and farm subsidies. The number to join in is 800-642-1234 with your question or comments. Congressman, how do you propose incentivizing sustainable farming practices?
Well, first of all, what we ought to do is to make the environmental programs be performance-based. Every year, there are many, many farmers in Wisconsin, that would like to have access to the environmental programs, but they are underfunded. We run out of money for deserving projects. And some of the money goes for things that are just the cost of doing business. They're not enhancing the environment. Why should we provide federal subsidy for confined animal feedlot operations? Taking care of that in an environmentally responsible fashion is just simply the cost of doing business. That does not help the vast majority of farmers and ranchers in Wisconsin that would like to have access to these environmental programs. They should be based on the amount of environmental benefit.
What effect have special interests had on the Farm Bill or lobbies as you talk about these large operations and the influence there?
Well, make no mistake about it. The farm lobby is large, well-funded, and it operates 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. One of the most, I think, dramatic examples of where contributions make a big difference deals with the sugar program. The American consumer pays about twice the world price for sugar products. It's driven confectionery business out of the United States to Canada and other places. The operation, however, in terms of the sugar lobby is very strong, putting restrictions on what can be imported. We have about 1% of American agricultural production is sugar, but it's 17% of American agricultural political contributions. And we have a situation where we're subsidizing cane sugar, for example, in Florida, over 400,000 acres, which contributes to the pollution of the Everglades. And frankly, much of this flows to the two largest contributors to the Democratic Party and the Republican Party happen to be a pair of Cuban immigrants who control the largest sugar operation in the country. It really is insidious, and the American consumer and the environment pays the price.
With the environment, your legislation would create an animal welfare tax incentive. How would farmers qualify for this?
We have, for the first time, would establish a animal welfare title, enable support for more sustainable and humane practices. We slaughter about 9 billion animals a year, and being able to provide more humane treatment in terms of how the products are raised, in terms of more mechanisms, in terms of in having the Department of Agriculture actually enforce animal welfare standards more aggressively. These are things that will make a difference in terms of the confidence that the products we have are produced in a humane and thoughtful fashion.
Representative Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, seeking to overhaul the Farm Bill, shift how agriculture and nutrition policies work in our country and here in Wisconsin. You can be part of this discussion, call in with a question. Share your perspectives at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A congressman from Oregon wants the Farm Bill reauthorization to improve the food our country produces and what we have access to eat. They offer an alternative vision for this sweeping legislative package that expires at the end of this month. And as we discuss ways to overhaul farm and food policy and a new farm bill, call in to ask a question or share your views at 800-642-1234. Representative Earl Blumenauer of Oregon is with us. Let's bring in Jim now in Hudson. Hi, Jim. What would you like to bring up?
Thanks for having me. It's a really important topic you're talking about. And I'd like to point out, the farm bill impacts, the health of people in this country so much as well, because the public school system is really the biggest fast food. It's not really a corporation, but it provides more food and meals to people in this country than any other, McDonald's or whatever else. And the quality of the food provided for school lunches is for the most part quite poor. The USDA supports sugar companies and the pop industry, and all of these things contribute to a really unhealthy lifestyle here in the United States, with diabetes and obesity being such a problem. And if we had better foods, getting to people, it would really decrease the cost of our health care, too. It's such an important topic.
Jim, thank you for joining in. Congressman, how could you see changes to how nutrition policies work in our country?
Well, we have a specific title in my bill that would increase access to healthy food in food deserts, other underserved areas. He's right about the critical nature of school nutrition, and for that matter, at farmers markets through SNAP and other initiatives. The soaring costs of health care in this country directly tied to diet. Obesity, diabetes, these are diet-related conditions that drive our health care spending and undermine the health of the American public. There's tremendous evidence that being able to subsidize more healthy food, like fruits and vegetables, you can have food as medicine. Healthcare providers are providing healthy food and showing savings for their health care plans. My legislation would be able to provide incentives in that fashion.
And, noting here, more than 3/4 of the current farm bill goes toward nutrition assistance programs. Yeah. One of those programs, as you mentioned, being SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It benefits more than 700,000 Wisconsin residents, and your proposal would expand food assistance funding. How would you do that?
Well, we would increase the areas, the amount of money of funding that goes into it. What we see now as an approach, and I am saddened by what some of my Republican friends are arguing, is to increase the limits for access to nutrition, have more stringent limitations about who would qualify. We ought to be expanding that. Unfortunate that they're looking at restricting access to nutrition for low and moderate income people when there are 20,000 farmers who have received $1 million a year or more for 37 consecutive years. We ought to expand access for low and moderate income people and rein in these subsidies for people who don't need them.
Your proposal would change the crop insurance program that is part of the farm bill. What is problematic with how crop insurance works today?
Well, it's too narrowly drawn. For the vast majority of farmers and ranchers cannot get access to it. It is designed for large commodity productions. And frankly, the crop insurance program guarantees an extraordinarily high rate of return we spend $2 billion on people who just sell the insurance for a program that's guaranteed. We need to tighten the economic elements of crop insurance provision and make it so that it is less of a rich entitlement. And as I mentioned, those 20,000 examples of $1 million a year or more is, I think, something we can no longer afford when we have unmet needs for research, for environment, and for nutrition.
Do you see crop insurance like subsidies, or how are those two different from each other?
Well, it is a massive subsidy. There, the way the system is designed, some people can plant crops they know will fail and make money off of it. We ought to try and make sure that the crop insurance program is designed for people who need it the most, particularly the things that are basically excluded right now. When you're talking about fruits and vegetables, which most people would regard as food, it's very, very difficult for them to have crop insurance. They're not protected in the case of disasters. But as I mentioned, in terms of the commodity programs, that's almost a guaranteed revenue stream for the agents, for the large commodity that plant and take advantage of it, and for people who are having a more diverse stream of agricultural products, they can't qualify.
Talking about a new vision for the Farm Bill with Democratic Congressman Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, you can join in with your questions and your perspective at 800-642-1234. Congressman, Congress is struggling with negotiations over the Farm Bill, is expected to miss the September 30th deadline to renew it. That's according to an industry publication, Successful Farming. And given your objections to the Farm Bill, would failing to renew it be a bad thing?
Well, I think we have an opportunity for people to deal meaningfully with the areas of reform. You're having a very narrowly balanced Congress. The Ag Committee is split, Republicans and Democrats even. If the forces of reform are growing in Congress, people who care about animal welfare, about research, about equity, about nutrition, those needs are going to have to be accommodated, I think, in order for the bill to pass. It gives us unusual leverage. The Senate chair of the Ag Committee, Debbie Stabenow from Michigan, this is her last session of Congress. This is her swan song, and she's been sympathetic towards reform. So I think the elements are lining up, and if there isn't some movement to take care of some of the more egregious problems, the people who were shut out, for instance, and not dealing with the nutrition deficits, I don't think they get the votes to move forward. I think that gives leverage, the unprecedented leverage, for people who want to make it better. I mentioned the stake that Wisconsin has in this. If the Farm Bill is not reauthorized, at the end of the calendar year, we revert back to a 1940 law that bases the subsidy based on how far you are from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which used to be the center of the dairy productions. That would dramatically disadvantage the state of Wisconsin. So I think you've got leverage to try and make some changes.
The Farm Bill is a vast piece of legislation that you know well, and 2018 version was almost $500 billion. Do lawmakers understand its complexity?
No. As a practical matter, I think it's safe to say virtually no one can understand all of these facets. In fact, the noted nutritionist Marion Nussel from NYU actually tried to teach a seminar on the Farm Bill, and she concluded that it was hopelessly complex, that nobody understood it except for their little narrow provision. And that helps provide support. People can't dive in. They don't understand crop insurance. They're not being fully versed with the intricacies of research. And that helps protect things like the bizarre sugar system. The complexity works in their favor, sad to say, and it's time to try and cut through some of that.
Representative Blumenauer, thank you for joining us.
Been my pleasure.
Earl Blumenauer has represented a Portland, Oregon seat in Congress since 1996. His farm bill alternative is called the Food and Farm Act. And yesterday in Central Time, a Politico reporter explained the negotiations over renewing the farm bill. Go to WPR.org to listen to that conversation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.